already at Psalm 55 and verse 22. I'm going to read it again. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall do what? Sustain thee. And as we were sharing, that word sustain, you could say, means to keep or to nourish or to uphold or provide. It means to support you or bear you up. There's other scriptures that say that. But as we cast our burden upon the Lord, he shall sustain us. Now, here's something, some thoughts here. You know, the devil is constantly trying to do what to us? Discourage us, defeat us. And one way in defeating us is to discourage us and to do what? Take on some things that we shouldn't. We're to do what? Cast something off. If I have a burden, that means I'm weighed down with something. That means something that's heavy. I'm heavy laden with something. So if I'm feeling, anybody ever pick up something that's heavy, or you know, you've got something that you're trying to carry? Anybody ever do backpacking? I did. When I went, I was backpacking one time up in the Adirondacks, way, way upstate. And I had, you know, I remember before I left, I said, we're only doing a small trip here. I had this thing. You think I was going away for 2 months. I had everything packed in this backpack. And I remember my father told me, it's going to be too heavy. And I went, nah, strong, I can do this. Yeah, about 5 miles in, I'm like, it's too heavy, heavy laden, right? So what do we need to do when we're heavy laden? Strip off, throw off the weight, right? Something that's causing us anxiety, something that's causing us to be burdened with something, right? Are we supposed to carry it? No. Medical science, we got some medical people here. Medical science will tell you this body is not designed to carry stress. Stress is a killer. I mean, I've talked to a number of medical people. Well, we know it'll cause heart issues. It'll cause blood pressure issues. It'll cause, you know, I know some people that are in, you know, the internal kind of stuff, and they'll say it stress can cause people to be constipated, and it can cause people to have diarrhea and those kind of things where they can't keep anything in or down. And so you're not designed to carry stress. That's right here in the Bible, is it? Just says it another way. Cast the burden from you. You're not designed to carry it. But that's just not a nice saying. That means the minute we have a heavy weight, the minute I have something that's causing me to be concerned about something, overly concerned about something, what does this do? What does this say here? What am I supposed to do? Cast it off. Get rid of it. Now, that doesn't mean that, you know, if you're a professional worrier or a professional concerner kind of a person, and you're concerned about everything, then you're going to have to work at that a little bit, because your mind is going to want to stay on something and be concerned about it all the time. What am I going to do about this? Cast it off. Get rid of it. Because with long life, you won't make a long life. You won't make a long life if you just keep worrying about everything and be concerned about it. You won't. Here's the Message translation. It says, pile your troubles on God's shoulders. He'll carry your load. He'll help you out. He'll never let good people topple into ruin. Let me read a couple of others. These are I wrote a few others down here.
Maybe I didn't put it on this sheet.
The NIV, it says, cast your cares on the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never let the righteous be shaken. The Amplified, cast your burden on the Lord, releasing the weight of it. So something that weighs you down, what are you supposed to do? Release it. Get rid of it. And he will sustain you. Yeah, but you know what? I can't. It's too big. What am I going to do? Well, let me ask this question. You worrying about it, is it going to fix it? Nope. So you keep worrying about it, is not going to get fixed. What does this say? If you release it, he will sustain you. He'll provide. He'll make a way. It didn't say if you carry it, he'll make a way. He'll sustain you. It said, cast your burden upon the Lord. So let me ask this question. Are there a lot of people, I was asking this before, there are a lot of people in this world that are not being sustained by God. Would you agree? There's a lot of people. Now that, you know, you say, well, how come bad stuff happens to people? Well, you've got a devil in the world, and people create bad stuff. It's not God. And so this says here, if we come unto God, he will help us, right? But people are not coming unto God, so they're walking through a lot of stuff. And so when you look at the issues, one thing here, when you put down here a burden, well, let me ask this question. What's the opposite of casting off something? Carrying it. So if I don't cast it off, I'm carrying it, right? So a burden is something pushing us down. It'll break us down. So let me ask this question. If fear and depression can kill you, why couldn't faith and joy bring you out? If heaviness and depression can kill you and wear you down, then why couldn't faith and joy bring us out and lift us up? It can. Faith and joy can build us up and move us the other way. It can, and it does. Let's say this. I wrote this down. Let's all say this. No more sad days. No more sad days. No more down days. I have victory days. No more down days. You can't control everything that happens around you. You can't control it. You can't control everything that happens to you. But you can control how you respond to it. You can't control everything that happens to you or everything that goes on around you. But you can control how you react to it. And it's up to us how we react to it. How are we supposed to react to it? Cast your burden, throw it off, and God will sustain us. He'll help us. He'll fight for us. He'll work on our behalf. Hallelujah. Let's turn over to Psalm 91 for a minute. See, even in this psalm, every time you look at something, you can look at it in a different light. Here you can look at the same thing. This psalm is not all God-sided. There's a God side, and then there's a man-word side. You can look at that in the same, you can see this right in here. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. So in other words, he's not visiting, he's abiding. But how did he get there? He had to do something. He said, I will say, the Lord is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. So he's making a step towards God, isn't he? Yes. This isn't all just God being his place of refuge and God doing some things on his behalf. He said, no, God is my refuge. The Lord is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He's decreeing God's my helper. He's going to work in my behalf, right? He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. Verse 7, 1,000 shall fall at thy side and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Why? Because he's put his trust in the Lord. And the Lord is going to do something so that there's no evil that's going to befall him. And this here doesn't even say what it was that it says 1,000 shall fall at thy side. It doesn't even say what that 1,000 was. It could have been sickness. It could have been financial ruin. It could have been whatever. But this says here, it could have been, you know, in other words, think of it this way. It said, 1,000 failed marriages shall fall at thy side and 10,000 at thy right hand. But it's not coming nigh me. It could say 1,000 sick people fell and 10,000 over here, but it's not coming nigh me. See, the devil works at people to get over into fear. He wants people to take fear. What's going to happen if we don't have enough money? I don't know, but the Lord's going to sustain me. I don't know how. But I've put my trust in God, and this says here, he's going to sustain me. It says, financial ruin's not coming nigh me. It's not going to come nigh me, because I've put my trust in God. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. It's not coming nigh me. And, you know, we were listening to a scripture on Friday night, and it just blessed me, you know. What is 2 Timothy 1st chapter and verse 7? It says, for God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So he's not given me a spirit of fear. It may come, but I don't have to. How I react to it depends, right? That's going to depend on the outcome. So if I respond to it, it may not go well. But I say, no, this evil's not coming nigh me. This destruction is not coming nigh me. Because I've made my habitation, I've made my, what does it say, my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. Verse 11, for he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. Amen. Verse 12, they shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. I don't have to worry. I've got angels surrounding me. I've got angels protecting me so that I will not dash my foot against a stone. I'm not going to get in an accident. I'm not going to have evil befall me because his angels protect me. Why? Because I've put my trust in the Lord and made him my habitation. And because of that, he said, he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. Verse 14, because he hath set, this is the Lord speaking here, because he hath set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him, what? Right in the midst of trouble. Right in the midst of the mess, he's going to be with me. This says here, I will deliver him and honor him, and with long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But here's the point. Let me read this scripture here. 2 Peter 3:9, it says, the Lord is not, who does it say? The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, and not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So God is not willing that anyone should perish. That means he's not willing that anyone not be helped or sustained. But there's got to be something that we do. So it's the same thing what I was saying. There's a lot of people in this world that are not being helped by God. They're not being sustained by God. But this says here, he's not willing that anyone should perish or be sustained. Or helped. So when we say, well, how come God lets all this stuff happen? He ain't letting it happen. People are letting it happen. People are not responding to God. People are not coming to him, seeking him. So it's, you know, we need to answer people when people make statements like that. We need to remind them, no, God is a good God. And we need to share with them that God is not willing that any, no one, be without help. He's a loving God. But we must come to him on his terms. What are his terms? Seek him, look for him, acknowledge him. Amen. Trust him. So, God is a good God. Turn over to Proverbs for a minute. Proverbs, look at a few of these scriptures. Proverbs 18. You're familiar with Proverbs 18:20, but I want you to look at Proverbs 18 and verse 14. If we cast our burdens on the Lord, he will sustain us. It says, the spirit of a man will sustain. We're looking at that word sustain. the spirit of a man will sustain and uphold what? His infirmity. But a wounded spirit, who can bear? Who can hold up? Can't. So it's an interesting thing. We're looking at this word sustain. So the most important, now when you look at that, it says the spirit of a man. Where is the spirit of a man? It's on the inside, right? So the most important thing in every situation is something spiritual, not natural. So as this says here, infirmity. So the most important thing is not the outside, it's the inside. Because this said here, it's talking about an infirmity, but it's talking about the spiritual side of it, not the natural side. What's going on in your heart is more important than what's going on in your head or your body. What's going on in your heart is more important than what's going on in your head or in your body. I'll give you a scripture. Write this down. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 18. While we look not at the things which are seen. So what's more important? The inside, the spirit of a man, rather than your soul, what's in your head, your mind, or your body. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are what? Temporal. But the things which are not seen are eternal. Hallelujah. So think about this. If I went from bad to good, then it's changeable. That means I was in this state, I went to this state, there was a change. It was changeable. It's temporary. If I went from bad to good, then why can't I go from the other direction? I'm sorry, if I went from, I said that backwards. If I went from good to bad, why can't I go from bad to good? It's changeable, right? It's temporary. So I don't look at the things which are seen, but I look at the things that are unseen. It's the inside, it's the heart that's important. So you don't change outside things. I'm going to make this statement. You can write this down. You don't change outside things by focusing on outside things. You don't change outside things. You don't change things that are seen by focusing on things that are seen. It won't change. You don't change the natural with the natural. You change the natural with the spiritual. That's what it says. Look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are unseen. You change the natural with the spiritual. Miracles start on the inside, not on the outside. Where does a miracle start? In your heart. You see yourself well. You see yourself prosperous. You see yourself a winner in victory, even though you're not on the natural, on the outside. You change the natural with the spiritual. Here's another thought. You need to watch what you fixate on. Many a person has gotten into natural troubles fixating on things. You can fixate on a problem and lose sight of the big picture. The devil would have us fixate on the negative report, the symptoms or feelings in your body, the bills, the economy, or what somebody said to you or didn't say to you. Don't fixate on the issue and lose sight of the big picture. Once we know what the problem is, then let's start looking for the answer. You look for the answer, it's a spiritual answer. It is not a natural answer. God will give you a spiritual solution that will affect the natural. A spiritual solution could be, he will tell you like he told us, call this money in. Does that, if you call money in, that means you don't have money. Now you can work real hard. You could work 10 jobs and wear yourself out and still not get enough money. But you could operate in a spiritual manner and not wear yourself out. That's what I call casting your burden upon the Lord. And he will do what? Sustain you. He will help you by doing what? Giving you some instructions on doing what? Call the money in so I can go put my head down at night. I can get some rest. I'm peaceful. I'm not worried about it. And he's working in my behalf, causing these things to come in and work. You see? Does everybody see this? Because it's freeing. The truth of God's word will do what? Burden you. No. Set you free. But we're all, when the stuff knocks on the door, you get a bad report, the doctor says so and so and so and so and so and so and so, or you've got some issue happens where now it steals your finances in your home, right? Are we to worry about it? Do we have an uncaring God? Do we have a God that isn't concerned about it? He said, don't be concerned. Cast your cares upon me, and I'll help you. Amen. Glory to God. All of us, as I've heard many a pastor say, or anybody, it doesn't even have to be a pastor, you just live. He said, if you live long enough, you're going to run into some stuff in life. I don't care who you are, whether you're young, middle-aged, old, getting older, whatever it is. If you live long enough, you're going to have some issues that you're going to have to deal with in life. And so we're not supposed to deal with a natural problem with a natural solution. We deal with it with a spiritual solution. Let me read this in Proverbs 18. We were sharing about this. Proverbs 18, 14 in the Amplified. The strong spirit of a man sustains him in bodily pain or trouble. But a weak and broken spirit, who can raise up or bear? So let me ask this question. If you can have a strong spirit, it means you could have a weak spirit. This shows here, in this scripture, it says, the strong spirit of a man sustains him in bodily pain or trouble. But a strong spirit, it's not talking about natural now, a strong spirit does not fixate on the problem. It can't. But a weak spirit will. A weak spirit, or a person whose spirit is weak, It says right here, a weak spirit, who can raise up? A weak and broken spirit, who can raise up or bear or sustain, hold up? Who can do that? You can't. The spirit of the person is weak. See? And when you're weak, that's a good way to find out, am I focusing on the problem? It'll tell you right away whether you're weak-spirited or not. If you're overwhelmed with something, you need to get your mind off and stop fixating on the problem. You know, they've talked about this, and that's why I've heard stories about it. But that's why you will have... I raced cars when I was younger. I was up... I went through a race car driving school up in Canada. I went to two stages, kind of low speed, which was not over 100 miles an hour, but it was less. And then over 100 miles an hour was more high speed. And when you get up to a high speed, things happen very quickly. I mean, real quick. Not even seconds. It's less than seconds. It's like, boom. And so when things happen and there's cars moving around you like this, when I was driving, these vehicles I was driving were open wheel, not closed, not stock cars. They were like formula cars. Well, let me ask this question. You ever touch an open wheel? You ever touch wheel to wheel? You're taking a trip in the air. When tire touches tires, it's off. You're going somewhere. And so things, when they're moving around, things happen very quickly. And so you can get fixated on your rearview mirror, looking at who's looking, who's around you, and you got a curve coming up, and you're over at 100, and you get fixated, and you're like, whoops, boom. So you can get fixated. And I watched it on the track. There were folks... I was up helping somebody. He said, we were coming down the back straight over 100 and everybody, and then it was a 90-degree turn. You had to come down, bum, 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 and around. And he got fixated on his rearview mirror and went straight in the woods. So you can get fixated on something, whatever that something is, and miss the big picture. What's the big picture? There's a turn coming. And you're in the woods, right? So you can get fixated on whatever it is. You can get fixated on trying to, whatever it is. It can be health, it can be money, and you miss the whole big picture on something, and you can be off in the ditch, in the woods. That's why you have airplane pilots. I mean, I never flew. I raced, but it's a similar thing. Things happen real quick. That's why they put pilots in all of these what do they call them, simulators. And they make problems. Thank God it's just in a simulator. But when things are happening, they can't get fixated on the problem. They've got to think above the problem, and they've got to think clearly through the problem to get that plane down on the ground. Right? Or ditch it somewhere in a safe way. So we've got to, in the problems of life, we can't get fixated on something and lose sight of who's in me, who loves me, who cares for me. I'm in the habitation of the Lord. I'm under the shadow of the Almighty. And he said, no evil will come nigh you. Even though I'm feeling it, I'm tasting it, I'm smelling it, and I'm walking through it, he said, I'm coming out of it. See? And I can't lose sight of that. Because you can get fixated on something so much that it's so big, and so you go, where's God in all of this? How come God's don't let me go through this? Why? How come? And then you get mad at God because of what I'm going through. Right? It happens. Or could happen. Look at Ephesians chapter 3. A couple of scriptures here. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 16. It says that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might, where? In your inner man. So this is back to a strong spirit will sustain you in an infirmity as you're walking through. But this says here, I can be strengthened with might by the Holy Ghost, where? In my spirit, in my inner man. Hallelujah. So the life we receive in our inner man affects our outer man. So the outside is affected by the inside. How? With might by the Holy Ghost. Let me read, you don't have to turn here, I'll read this scripture. Psalm 54, verse 4. It says, behold, God is my helper. The Lord is with them that uphold my soul. Let me read this and something, because it you may not grasp that. The NIV, it says, surely God is my help. The Lord is the one who sustains me. He's my helper. He sustains me. I've got to put that in my mouth. As I'm walking through something, I got to say, the Lord is my helper. He sustains me. He helps me. He upholds me. Hallelujah. The Good News Translation says, but God is my helper. The Lord is my defender. Complete English Bible or Common English Bible, it says, but look here. God is my helper. My Lord sustains my life. He sustains my life. Amen. Hallelujah. Let me just share this in closing here. I've got some other scriptures, but let me just share this. Two scriptures. Psalm 51:12. It says, Psalm 51, verse 12, it says, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation and uphold me with thy free spirit. Now let me read this, because sometimes the old English doesn't translate to us as well in modern times. This is an older translation, but it's called the Young's Literal Translation. Now listen to this. It says, restore to me the joy of thy salvation, and a willing spirit doth sustain me. That means you've got to be willing. You've got to be, what do we say it this way? It says, a willing spirit doth sustain me. It means your spirit's responding. It's open. It's willing. It's open to his help. You see what I mean? You can be closed to his help. You could say, no, I don't need his help. That's really what that's saying. A willing spirit will sustain thee. That means I'm open. I'm looking for some help. I'm looking for his help. A willing spirit, an open spirit. See? Here's another, the same thing. Another translation. It says, restore to me the joy of your salvation and sustain me in a willing spirit. See, you've got to be willing, and when you are, it says, he'll sustain thee. See? So in order for God to help us, we need to be open, otherwise he can't help us. That's what we were saying. He's willing that none would perish, but we've got to be open. We've got to be willing, see, to receive his help. Now, I want to turn over, I want you to look at this particular scripture, Isaiah 26. It's a familiar scripture, but I want us to look at this in light of what we're teaching here. Isaiah 26. And verse 3. And I believe we'll be blessed here with this. We'll look at it in some other translations. But a familiar verse of scripture. It says, thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. So in other words, we can see here in this, just in this scripture, we can see a Godward side and a manward side. God will do this if you do this. If you keep your mind stayed on him, he's going to do something. What is that? He'll give you perfect peace. Now, I'm going to read this here in some other translations. The Complete Jewish Bible, it says, a person whose desire rests on you, you preserve in perfect peace because he trusts you. The Good News Translation says, you, Lord, give perfect peace to those who keep their purpose firm and put their trust in you. Let me read a few others here. The New Century, it says, you, Lord, give true peace to those who depend on you because they trust in you. Let me go back here to these notes. So, let me ask this question. Maybe I'll do this little experiment here. Okay, I want everybody to count in your mind. So this says, who keeps their mind stayed on thee. I want to keep your mind, just not out loud, but I want you to just in your mind count from 1 to 10. And at the same time, I'm going to have you make a confession. See how that works. Okay, so you ready? Everybody ready? So I want you to, in your mind, count from 1 to 10. And don't lose track now. I want you to keep counting 1 to 10. And then I want you to follow me in a confession. Okay, everybody ready? Okay, so here we go. And so you're going to be counting in your mind, not out loud, and I'm going to have you say something, right? But I don't want you to lose track of counting 1 to 10. Okay? So you ready? Okay, everybody ready? Okay. Okay, so let's say this. The Lord is my helper. I shall not lack. He shall sustain me. Okay, did you lose track of your numbers? Huh? You got to 7? Really? You were at 7 while you were counting. Okay, but you lost track though. So you can't be fixated on 2 things. You can't be thinking on this. You can't have your mind on this and your mind on this. You can't. You're going to have your mind on one or the other. So this says here, he will keep you in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on these. So you can't have your mind thinking about this. And so here's the thing. You can be worrying about something and talking faith, but you got your mind on something else, right? So you've got to have your mind not fixated, but you've got to have your mind stayed on him regardless of what you're walking through. And it says here, he will keep you in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. Right? So really, what are we saying here in all of this? That you are a spirit being, you live in this body, and you're in this earth, but you're not of this earth. You're in a new kingdom. You've got new benefits. But you've also got an adversary here in this earth, and you've got a body that's not redeemed, and you've got a God in this world that's the God of this world, but I don't report to him anymore. I'm not subject to him. But I've got a new authority in this earth, in Christ, and I can live above the evil in this earth, in this world. So for us, we need to have a mindset that God is for me and not against me, and that I can walk through these issues in life, and I can walk above them and through them. Yea, though I walk through the shadow of the valley of death, I will fear no evil. He will sustain me. Even though I'm going to walk through it, I'm not going to camp out in it. And so for us, every one of us, we can go back and look at and think about the things that God has sustained us in and through. If he did it then, he'll do it again, and he'll do it again. And we need to say, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. I'm not trusting in the natural. I'm trusting in the supernatural. God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of power, which really means he's given me a spirit of authority and of love and a sound mind. And that mind is stayed on him. And I'm in perfect peace. And this world is not peaceful because you've got a God that's chaotic, not a God of this world, Satan, who is a God of chaos and disruption and hate and no peace. And so we've got to be able to look to God, look to the one that can give us peace. See, I'm going to say this. If this says here, thou will keep him in perfect peace. Peace is something not from the outside that makes us feel good. Peace is on the inside. And this peace will affect the outside. And it's supernatural. This isn't something like, you know how people say, well, I'm going to go on vacation. You know, I've heard many a minister say this. Not many. I've heard a few say this. In particular, I heard Brother Copeland say this and some others saying, you know, they're running, doing ministry work, and I'm tired and I need to rest. Well, you do. You need to rest your body. But I need to rest and eat well, and that'll help me. Well, it does to a degree. But if you don't nourish the inside, You can nourish the outside and still be tired because your spirit's weak. So a lot of times we think, I'm not against vacations. I think you need to. You need to rest your body. But if you think it's all that, your spirit, it says, the strong spirit of a man will sustain him in bodily infirmity and trouble. So you can rest. You can get good nourishment. You can go on a 4-week vacation, 8-week vacation. But if you don't nourish this spirit man, it will not sustain thee. So that's the important thing we need to remember in all of this, that I need to feed on the Word. I need to meditate in the Word of God, and He will sustain me, sustain thee. But it also is going to strengthen my spirit. So when I walk through the issues of life, and I walk through them, I have a strong spirit. See? Amen?
Amen.
Glory to God. Thank God. Amen. Because we can run, and you have a weak spirit, and it will not sustain thee. What does that mean? It won't bear you up. That's what sustain means, to hold you up. That means, boy, you can walk through trouble after trouble and problem after problem. And when your spirit's strong, you walk through and say, we're going through this. And there's chaos and junk and stuff going on. Other people are falling apart. Other people are just coming to pieces. But you're walking through it. Why? Because your spirit is strong. And what does it say? The strong spirit of a man will uphold you. It'll sustain you in the problem. You won't come apart. You won't come unglued. You won't be in a funny farm. I don't mean it the wrong way. I mean, nothing against, you know, people that have that issue. But I'm just saying, it doesn't have to be as extreme as that. But you just be like, you know, I'm just going crazy with this issue. Right? No, you're not going crazy. You're strong. And your spirit man is really, that's what we're saying. The inside is answering and sustaining the natural issue. Right? Hallelujah. And that strong spirit does what? It not only just affects the outside, it affects my soul. Because the soul, the devil keeps fighting with these issues, it begins to affect your soul. Begins to affect how you see the, in other words, you get fixated on it. No, I'm fixated on winning. Amen. And my spirit man, because it's strong, says, I have the victory. I'm going through this. I'm walking through this. That's what the psalmist said. Yay, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'm not going to fear this. That's a strong spirit talking, isn't it? You look at it just the same. You can look at these things and say, that's a strong spirit. How could he say, I will fear no evil? He didn't have a weak spirit. Right? Same thing. Amen. Glory to God. Say, I'm strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. And I am strengthened with might by His Spirit in my inner man. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I'm strengthened. I'm strong. I'm not weak in the Lord. I'm strong in the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for being strengthened and built up in our spirits by your word and by your spirit. And we thank you, Father, that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens me in my spirit and by his word. And I thank you, Father, that I am an overcomer. I am going to go through. I am a winner in Christ. I'm not a loser. And I have no more down days. I have up days. I don't have blue days. I have up days. I have good days in Christ who strengthens me in Jesus' name. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Bless God in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. You know, sometimes when we're having one, we call it a day. You know, boy, I'm having a day. Begin to get joyful when you're not, because the joy of the Lord is my strength. I need to just start singing some songs. I need to get fixated on who's on the inside. I need to start looking at and thinking about, Brother Hagin used to say it, in the 60-plus years he was in ministry, he said, we need to be more God-inside-minded. That's what he used to say. That's all he was saying. Get fixated on the greater one. Get your mind off the problem and think about who's the greater one. That'll make you start laughing. Yeah. Ha, 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 I'm going over. Yeah. I'm not going under. Yeah. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You can have a big happy laugh. Amen. Glory to God. Well, praise God. Amen. God is good. All the time. Amen. Glory to God. Praise God. Praise God. Yeah, what he's done for me. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God.